winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Who, sir? How you doing? How you doing? It's never easy down at Selhurst Park. They didn't make it easy for us today, the Eagles, but the boys got a big 3 points. Rashford on the scoreboard, Martial on the scoreboard. People aren't happy, but I'm happy. 3 points. Let's march on.
This team's going to kill me. This team's literally going to kill me. Chelsea win, Leicester win, coming into this game. All right, they all got the points. Got to beat Palace 5-0, 6-0, go out, show the world that we are back, Manchester United of old. Man, what a tough start. What a tough first half that had me. I was in a piss-poor mood. I was in a piss-poor mood, almost Mourinho style, sir.
Not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
We don't want you in big trouble. And that's why we don't do a pod midway through the game. That's why, you know, you stick to Twitter. Because that kind of behavior is, very accepted on that forum. But it was a game of two halves, I think. You know, United, sometimes they start strong, finish weak. Sometimes they start weak, finish strong. I think this was the latter. So fortunately, we got the second goal. That kind of put it to bed. I think Matic was a big sub. But there are definitely some standouts in this game. Good win. That's all that matters.
Good win.
We got a good win, three points, and we move on.
I mean, I would say...
Clean sheet?
It's a results-based game. You know, we got the clean sheet because I dropped De Gea in fantasy.
He had a vintage.
Dropped Rashford as well. He had a hell of a game.
vintage De Gea game from De Gea. Shout out to De Gea. Best game since the restart. He made five saves, three of which were big saves, and that kept the clean sheet for sure.
Pray to the VAR gods, because I'll tell you what.
It was close.
I'll tell you what. That was...
inches, bro. Inches.
That's like when they talk about a game of inches, like Al Pacino famously made that speech. It is truly, because if I was a Palace fan, 1-1, that's a totally different game. United... just not what you want to see against a poor Crystal Palace. They lost five coming into this match. They're for the taking. Obviously, they're away. There is no fans. But we looked sluggish. Didn't move the ball quick enough. The midfield, like you said, I think we were a different team with Matic coming in, cleaning everything up. He has that composure, can hold the ball, not give it away. You know, when you put Fred in there, you put McTominay in there, we don't look the same. That's why I think we need to be looking for not only a center back, but a CDM, because Matic is old and Ole tried to give him a rest, but he saw the team needed Matic and he was not trying to play him because he's probably looking to FA Cup semifinal.
Hey, man, we've been critical of Ole sometimes when he hasn't gotten it right. Today, he got it right. That sub to bring on Matic was a huge sub relatively early for when he likes to make subs. And I believe at the time, they're only up by one. And it was a big sub because we looked way more assured. We were way more confident. He didn't have a bad giveaway, though. He did. But we all... it happens. There are a bunch of bad giveaways today around the team. But he just anchored it. He anchors it on defense, right? He stops their break so often. And he also can pass through the lines. In a way, Scott didn't play bad. It's just that I think you realize how good Matic is when he's on the pitch.
Well, you kind of look... I think Fosu Mensah, obviously, we're going Fosu Mental. He had the big start at left back. We'll talk about that when we get in the lineup. But... you know, Fosu Mensah, he was a passenger, really. You could see a bunch of players looking him off, De Gea looking him off. Like, they're not really going to give Fosu Mensah the ball in really tight positions. Not saying he's a squad player. McTominay's obviously stepped up, but to play CDM like that in that type of match, in that type of game, it's a little above his pay grade at the moment. Not saying that he hasn't done it in the past, like the City match. McTominay's always can do a job. For some reason, when you have Pogba and Bruno in there, the CDM role is even more important.
It is, and it's also, look at the way that Palace were setting up today. They had a ton of players in their midfield. You're asking a lot of him, you know, to break down that, whenever they're coming at him to, on the break. So he played all right, but I think Matic quickened the tempo, and it changed the game. So we were lucky to get the goal at the end of the first half. We should probably break into it.
No, absolutely. But before we break into it, quick PSA for the podcast. Check out our blog, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have fan-generated content. Sir, you are the editor-in-chief. making sense of it all. But if you want to support us, the contest for fans, by fans, you can check out AmericanRedDevils.com. I have an awesome blog. Also, drop a review on iTunes. We don't ask much of you. We don't have any ads on this podcast. There's no agenda. There's no backing. It's just two guys in a room next to a garage.
AKA out the here on the bunker. West Coast. AKA the bunker.
We call it the bunker. We actually got some autographed photos. We got the original Sir Alex. We got Van Nistelrooy. Daley Blind, sir. He was a great player. Martial. We're decorating the bunker. The bunker.
Well, you know, just like United, American Red Devils is on the up and up. So appreciate all the fans who've been writing reviews, who have been checking out the blog, who've been buying swag merch as well. So appreciate whatever you can do. The window.
What's the difference between swag and merch? I thought they were the same thing. Idea. Well, if you want to buy some swag or merch, Alex will tell you the difference. You can go to AmericanRedDevils.com, click on store. That helps us keep the lights on, pay for the hosting, the pod, et cetera, et cetera. We have some new merch coming in. We just ordered some samples. It'll be exciting. We'll announce that. Big plans for next year. But in the meantime, drop a review. Check out our website. We appreciate you guys. Best fans in the world. Shall we get into the match?
Let's do it.
Jumping in, Crystal Palace. 0, Manchester United 2, Selhurst Park. I've been there. You've been there. You saw that Matic banger. Unbelievable under Jose Mourinho, sir. Feelings coming back when you see Selhurst, that JD sport.
When we started slow, it felt like that game. You know, it was like you're asking for them to score on you. They had a couple chances in the first half where if they were a little bit more clinical, we would have been down 1-0.
Jumping the lineup, Dave says world number one in net. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fosu Mensah coming in. First start since 2017 at left back. Hell of a upgrade there. McTominay, Pogba, midfield two. Fernandez in the hole. Greenwood on the right. Rashford on the left. Martial at number nine. What'd you make of this lineup?
You know, I was excited about this lineup. The switch from McTominay from Matic is inevitable. There's just too many games, and everyone's looking at McTominay to be the heir apparent. He might be a slightly different player, which why today just didn't work out for him too well, but he's going to have to anchor that midfield if he's going to get a spot in the starting 11.
He played well with Fred. And Fred in a two, you know, they're not getting forward. They're both kind of doing it. They have high work rate. One can cover the left side. One can cover the right side. They got each other's back. But when you have Pogba and Bruno and everyone's going forward and it's really a one-man job, that's experience. That's Matic all day. So, you know, I think it depends how we're set up. And with Pogba and Bruno, McTominay at the moment, a little lost,
but he hung in there. And I was excited to see Fonsu Mensah, a player that we've all heard about forever. You know, Van Gaal days. Didn't really hear about Mourinho. He
played
went on a bunch
Crystal
of loans.
Palace.
Right, he went alone to Crystal Palace, went alone to Fulham. So it was good to see him get a go, and I think he had a very good day. Very solid.
He was playing right back at Crystal Palace until Wan-Bissaka took his job, basically. And now he's playing left back because Wan-Bissaka was signed by Manchester United. Oh, the irony.
And they look like the best tacklers today on the field. I mean, AWB, he wasn't the best going forward at times. I think he was pretty solid at the back, but I thought Fosu Mensah didn't really put a foot wrong. He didn't overcommit going forward, but he was resolute at the back. Made a bunch of big tackles.
Yeah, again for me the lineup, Fosu Mensah, that one, Dalot. You know,
who's he rate?
Look, Ole's looking for someone. For some reason, Dalot is not on the list, but he should be slotting in there.
No,
right?
I mean, we're gonna get to the news in a little bit, but he's on the chop list apparently for the summer, and I didn't think he would be, but this speaks to it because Dalot's next in line, you would think, but Fosu Mensah got the go, and I think you saw his defensive ability. It's because he's a better tackler.
And what a poor poor situation to have Luke Shaw and Williams go out in the same game. Haven't heard much on those two. Hopefully, we'll get Luke Shaw back for the FA Cup semifinal. Williams, he probably needs he probably needs 2 weeks concussion protocol. All right, sir. Jumping into the match, first half. We looked like United of earlier this year. Yeah. Sitting behind the ball, Maguire, Lindelof, Maguire, Palace getting the better action to start it. The first half, I would say they had more dangerous attempts on net, and we weren't doing much. Couldn't really break them down. Second minute, Zaha gets off a quick shot, but De Gea saves. Dave saves. He's going to start racking those up here. 11th minute, Maguire gets two quick chances from corners, but Maguire, I mean, slabhead, not able to put it on net.
I mean, the first one was a funny one. It looked like he just got hit by it. Like he didn't direct the header.
No,
anywhere.
Sacco missed it, and then that's why he wasn't expecting him to get it. And then the second one, that should be a goal.
That's his bread and butter. He was right there. He's coming in well. It's a nice ball from Bruno, as usual.
30th minute snap chance for Greenwood after some nice footwork from Martial. I like how those two are finding themselves in the final third. 32nd, McGuire goes down with a head injury, but come on, made a granite slab head. He ain't going down with a head injury. And 39th, McGuire goes close from a corner. So getting hit in the head, then just smashing his head into
it. Has no fear. I mean, he proved why he's hard as iron. I think he looked it. I thought he was shaken up after that hit he took in the 32nd minute, but he came back. I think he had a good game.
40th minute, Dave saves after some lazy defending. And here, sir, this, I was boiling. I was absolutely boiling. Like, I didn't even...
It was bad.
To me, it just looked like the United of earlier this year where we had no clue what to do with basically two banks of four. Crystal Palace, Roy Hodgson, you know, old English. He knows how to set it up. And we just had no solution, no creativity. Couldn't really get in behind. Couldn't break them down. And, you know, lackluster from United in a spot where you have to say it's the most important game of the year. So to see us show up and look like this, it was absolutely devastating to me. I was just like so fired up because you got to be coming out. You're playing for your life right now at Manchester United. We're trying to get fourth place. Come on. And that's one thing for me that it's a little lost on these players when there's a corner in the 96th minute of Southampton and everyone switches off. And we're trying to get fourth place. There's a first half here at Crystal Palace. People are switching off, and we're trying to get fourth. We should be trying to win titles. How are you going to win titles? You can't turn it on when everything's on the line here.
Hey, I mean, the boys are tired. They've been a lot of games, and there
Crystal
hasn't been
Palace
a lot of...
Crystal Palace is tired.
They're tired, but they're not playing as many games as we are because we have the cup, and we
well,
have...
Well, I mean, the last cup game was against Norwich. It was a little while ago, so
Crystal Palace on Sunday, the same schedule. And we got one on Sunday, and then we got another
game. I'm talking about that's in the future, but as far as Palace goes, as far as Southampton goes, they're playing the same games we are.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you, sir, but we're breaking down a game, and they didn't start off well, but we certainly ended the half well in a way that, you know, we probably didn't deserve, but we certainly want to.
No, of course, but what do you think about that? I'm just trying to highlight that Southampton performance, not being able to finish it off, and then starting out of the blocks here slow. And that, to me, is concerning, right? Because you have a game you need to finish out, we can't do it, and then you come out here with a must win, and we look this sluggish. So is it fitness, or is it just a mentality? Hey.
Sir, we won this game. I mean, we won this game 2-0. We didn't start well, but we got a goal. We're going to talk about that goal in a second. But if you were taking up to this part of the match, I would say, damn, that's worrisome stuff. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yes, yeah. But I'm just trying to say, did we get away with it? Yeah,
yes, because we got away with it in the first half. It probably should have been 0-0. If anything, they had better chances. But United is going to get chances, and when we get them, sometimes we take them.
All right, there's the glass half empty take. We'll get to the goal here, 46th minute.
4 minutes being added on. Rashford. And now Rashford still onto his right foot, scores! United strike first. There's the breakthrough. What a cool, calm finish. And in first half stoppage time, United lead at Selhurst Park.
Great finish from Marcus Rashford. Did the defenders dirty and just slots it home. Great goal, great composure. He looked hungry. You know, kind of came out of nothing like... You know, we started seeing these opportunities pop up a little more towards the end of the half. Like you're saying, I was kind of down in the doldrums early. Started getting Bruno getting the ball. Everything started opening up from there. Rashford gets his goal.
Yeah, I think the more that Palace pushed forward, the more we would get our opportunities. And when we were in open play and we could find each other, we looked pretty lethal. It's just that we gave a ball away a little cheaply a couple of times on some breaks. But good goal to get. Great composure from Rashford, right? Because everybody's going one way, and he has composure to turn it onto his other foot and finish on his right. So great goal. Wasn't a great half, but hey, we're lucky going in 1-0 up.
Yeah, and then 49th minute, Dave had to come with another big save. So you're looking at, by the hair on our chinny chin chin, in the first half, I would say Palace probably outplayed us. And you're looking at a bad Palace side in 14th place, and us with everything to play for top four, giving me kind of the jitters from last season. And I thought, hey, maybe we get that first goal, the mojo would flow. It really didn't. I mean, you say, hey, this, you said it's tale of two halves. Second half, I think we were looking like we were going to concede. What'd you think Ole was telling the boys at halftime, right? I mean, is everyone just so haggard that we can't really play to form?
It looked like at points in the first half, and you're right, because it wasn't until the big double sub that happened in the 63rd minute, you know, Jesse Lingard just changing the game.
Oh, that was it. We'll get to that.
It was Jesse. No, but
it was a little sluggish. More of the same, right? Coming in the second half, it was not as good. And I think Matic changed it. You know, you bring him in, it unlocks Pogba. We just, I'm not saying we found energy, but we had like a pop in our step because more stuff was coming off.
And then here's the thing. In the 55th minute, I felt like it was building up. The goal, IU score. This is one where they score this goal, and it was coming. Like I'm not rewriting history. I'm not trying to be overly critical, United. I'm just trying to say, call them balls and strikes here, sir. We looked like we didn't deserve that goal in the first half. We came out. They got their goal, which I felt was coming. Again, defense didn't look good. Maguire kind of holding his hand up, hoping it's offsides, and it's offsides by the thinnest margin. We absolutely got bailed out by the VAR gods. I can't believe those lines that they draw. It's unbelievable. That has to be gone next season. I'm sure next season something like this will stand. But it's kind of with the run of play right now for United. A poor Crystal Palace team. You know, I can't rewrite history and say, oh, 2-0. This is smooth sailing. I was sweating this entire time.
Totally. Some of these games since the restart have been a joy to watch. I was nervous until we got that second goal. Until we got that second goal, I was sweating it. The second goal was, you know, at the end of the game. So it's not going to always be easy. I agree with you. The performance was not vintage, and it was not what we want to see. And the boys look tired. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
They do look tired.
After conceding, the goal was pulled back by VAR, drawing the lines. We're all praying as fans. Like, we're so nervous. I'm, like, dying right now. Gets pulled. VAR gods is amazing. They're trying to help us. Maybe they're trying to help us get so close and then not get there. I'm not sure.
Again.
They pull me back in. They always pull me back in. They always make me think we have a chance. 60th minute, another nice save from De Gea. Again, De Gea bailing in the side out. 62nd, great transfer. Rashford should have scored. Not his day. And like you said, 63rd minute, double sub. Lingard and Matic for McTominay and Greenwood. What is Ole smoking in the peace pipe where he's bringing on Lingard? How is Lingard, based on everything Lingard's done to date, how is he coming in the 63rd minute? We're up one goal against Crystal Palace, not looking good. How is he going to help us win the game? And why doesn't he come in when we're up, you know, by three goals against shit teams? That doesn't make any sense to me.
And actually, it made sense to me. It's because of his work rate. It's because he runs all over the pitch. Didn't actually do that when he first came.
Anything.
No, he did. He was actually running around a little bit more once we got like towards the second goal. But
okay, I'm not going to dispute he ran around.
I'm not going to defend Jesse Lingard, but you bring him on because you're up a goal and you need energy. You need pace. He hasn't played any games. He's got legs for days because he hasn't played at all. So put him in because he's a body. I would have suspected a Fred. Maybe you saved him.
Wouldn't he come into other games where we're winning comfortably? Wouldn't that be the scenario where Jesse? I wouldn't be like. I really question the Lingard sub. You don't think that's a strange place to put him in? Like, it's like the Dan James sub. When Dan James comes in, we're going to lock it up. It's like Bailly should come in and lock it up, right? It's
but
like
Jesse Lingard's not going to lock it up because he could still, on his day, do something in attack, in theory.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done anything since Arsenal FA Cup last year, right? I mean
he's done a little thing. I'm not going to defend Jesse Lingard, but I don't think it's like the worst sub in the world because look at the result. Right, like Mata changed the game. Jesse wasn't terrible. He did a job. He got in there and just kind of ran around, played defense when he needed to, played decent link up. Not great. There's a reason he's not going to make it into this 11. But I don't know. I'm not going to be too hard on Jesse. He's had way worse days in a United kit.
No, I'm just talking about the situation of the sub. You know, it's like this sub is very like the Matic for McTominay. That one is like almost like expert level.
Well,
like
Greenwood's gassed. Right? He looked tired, so you bring him off.
Dan James, but he's
such a tiny tot that like Jesse's small too. I don't know.
But Dan James is the sub that he's picked to play counter in games for that goal, right? And he's done that, and now he's switching from James. Maybe James showed him something to Southampton, and now he's going to linger. I'm trying to rationalize it, but again, I was just confused by that move. Like after the second goal. Later in the match, that might be a time to put Lingard in. But at this point, I wasn't like, we need Jesse Lingard.
No, neither am I.
That's my point. That's the only thing I'm
But when
to
he
say.
Actually came up, when I saw him walk up, I wasn't like, yes, I'm pumped for Jesse Lingard to make his appearance. But it was just like, when he started running around, I got it. Because he does, if you actually look at his stats, he runs quite a bit. The one thing he does do is he runs.
I'm not disputing he runs.
That's what he does. He's a good runner. Okay,
64th top minute, runner. Palace, another dangerous chance. No one on the end of it. Like, it's unbelievable. We're looking shaky at the back. You know, we need everything here. 74th minute, Rashford with an amazing pullback. Bruno with the volley off the post.
Smashes it.
This one I shouted out, like I can't handle this. This is like too nervy. 78th minute, Tony Marshall came from France. No chance, right?
Lovely little through ball. Here's the chance to finish it. That is brilliant. Anthony Martial. No stopping him at the moment. But the builder was
Tony Marshall scores again, sir. Bailing us out, Rashford with another great ball. I think Rashford, man of the match. He was linking everything up, looked absolutely great. And that's awesome when you see maybe Greenwood not having a good day, Rashford having a great day. I mean, that's, you look at that front three, they're playing great. That is really the positive here, was Marcus Rashford doing everything in the final third.
Marcus Rashford doing everything in the setup game. He's developing into a complete player. And so is Tony Martial, playing the best football of his career. Certainly his best football of his United career. Looks just absolutely lethal from all over the pitch. If you watch the goals he's scored since the restart, it's like, I mean, it's absolutely nutso. Just like golazo after golazo. This one was just a great utility goal and puts the game away, because that second goal is massive. Because you're right, it wasn't a vintage performance, but it's a vintage result. I'm just happy about the result because we got away with the one. And good teams, you know, if you can squeak by, that's a big deal. If you can win when you don't play well, that is very important.
Absolutely, sir. But I'll tell you what was vintage. That was a vintage Tony Martial goal. Yeah. Coming in from the left, going to the right. The curler, falling down, the whole thing. He loves that falling down curler. It's his thing. I don't know why, but he like always is falling down, curling the ball like that from left to right. Absolutely love it from Tony Martial. But unfortunately, Van Aanholt went down. I think it was his shoulder that went down, or he might have hit his head on the turf. I wasn't sure. It was a bad injury. So we wish Van Aanholt the best. He served me well in FIFA Ultimate Team as my left back. So shout out to the Dutchman.
Yeah, it was a scary moment for everybody. Hopefully he has a swift and full recovery. Nothing bad comes of it.
90th minute, another huge save from David De Gea. I mean, I like that he's starting to get that mojo flowing again.
Yep.
Must have got that beard trimmed. 93rd minute, nice hit from Rashford. Keeper makes a great save. And 97th, Bruno close on a free kick. No look. Look, Bruno go in the distance. A lot of players tired. Manchester United win it 2-0. We got away with one. Hey, I'm not saying that we don't need to get away with one, but I don't think you need to get away with one against a poor Crystal Palace after you let up points against Southampton when you have a point to prove. Good teams, they have that sort of chip on their shoulder from that Southampton result, and they come out and they take it out on Crystal Palace. That's what Sir Alex was able to get out of the lads. And this one I saw a belabor beating down United, kind of going back to those old habits. You know, when the ball's not flying in the net, people are tired. It just kind of gave me flashbacks of the run-in from last season. And to be honest, I guess I'm not over that, sir. I guess I'm having some PTSD. PTSD of that top four meltdown where it's just like everyone drops points. We bottle it. Everyone gets points. We're barely getting through against a bad team. And it's just, you know, I guess it's just all – this is a pressure cooker we're living in here.
It's like a summer tournament. It's like nuts. It's unbelievable. It's like there's so many games coming fast.
Maybe I can't handle the pressure. Maybe I can't handle it.
I mean, like July. Think about how many games we're going to play in July. How many consequential games? There's only two left.
You should have
That's what also makes you nervous.
You should have seen my wife when I tell her to do another pod tonight.
Sunday. Wait till Sunday. It's a full day affair in the semifinals in the FA Cup, sir.
You know,
a lot of football.
This is like right now, it's almost like the coat. It's like clearly like, football is amazing. It's having it back in my life. It
had
some normalcy to it. American sports are kind of like a complete shit show, but as far as EPL, you don't even think of COVID anymore. They're playing, it's great. And it's just the problem is the schedule's relentless and the pressure because every game matters. And it's just, we're back in the running again. And it's just like, will we do it? Will it won't? Well, there's always Europa League. I don't know. It's just like today, you know how many times I told myself, there's always Europa League. There's always Europa League. We can win it.
Well, I have 1-1 draw all over it. Certain points of the game. We're in the hunt. It's all on us. The big one that scares me is the West Ham Wednesday game. You know, Leicester, I know we're going to get pumped up at the end of the season.
Chelsky, no problem. We want to smash those Blues again. But West Ham, David Moyes, tactical genius. It's written in the stars. That's going to be a tough one.
Antonio's on fire. Yep. You know, West Ham's playing well. Unfortunately, coming in the run. But I think you're seeing these spells where teams are playing well. But this next kind of fixture schedule is something's going to break down. Match reaction stats-wise, United 59% of the ball to Palace's 40.4%. Shots on target 5-5. That was the one that worried me the most. We had the better passing percentage, 87% to 78. Corners 7-2. Sir, I mean, too close for comfort, in my opinion, against a poor Crystal Palace team. Anthony Martial has scored more goals in all competitions than any other Premier League player in 2020. That's 12. Hats off to our Frenchman. And Manchester United have gone unbeaten in their last 19 games in all competitions. I'm wearing the hoodie. It is undefeated. It's a little hot in the bunker for the hoodie, but I'm still wearing it. Their longest such run since a 29-game streak ended in November 2010 under Sir Alex Ferguson. 7 goals, which were originally awarded against Manchester United, have been overturned by the VAR gods this season, the joint most of any side in the Premier League campaign, alongside Southampton and Brighton. And Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford have now assisted one another a combined 7 times this season, the Premier League, the most of any pairing in a single season for Manchester United in the competition.
Wow.
That stat, to me, that's is everything. One. Because when you see Martial, I think when he teed up Greenwood, Martial had the ball on his feet in the box, and he slides it across to Greenwood, and that's what you're starting to see, the linking of the play between these three. They're unselfish. Martial used to be too selfish, Rashford too selfish. Now they're starting to spread it around, trying to find the open man, and I think that's really, you're seeing these front three really blossom.
You are, and they're going to get better and better. Even from where we started the season, if you look at those three players, they've all kind of had breakout seasons in their own right. So it's just really exciting. Both, what, on 22 goals, Rashford and Martial, and Greenwood is just like nipping at their heels. 16 goals, and he's 18 years old. It's ridiculous.
And a big stat here for my man, Dave.
David De Gea has saved us.
He has kept his 112th Premier League clean sheet for Manchester United, equaling Peter Schmeichel's club record in the competition. Shout out to David De Gea. I mean, he's had some ups. He's had some downs. He's still getting paid. Absolute bank. But the man can get a nice clean sheet after I drop him from my fantasy team.
He's now tied. I think he's tied for Golden Glove right now with Schmeichel. So how up and down of a season we've had, defense at times has been a strength.
All right. What do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I've not seen that one, but I don't think that's a penalty, no.
And the offside, of course. That's the kind of warning you needed at the time, because you needed that second goal, didn't you?
Yeah, when we got the second goal, that's when they started strutting about and playing as well as they can. So, of course, it's tight scheduling, but we can't afford starts like this.
Oh, of course. And I was talking to Marcus Rashford a moment ago. We barely saw Anthony Martial in terms of performance tonight, and then suddenly he pops up with the killer goal.
Well, I saw Anthony. I saw what he was doing.
Yeah.
I
think he was doing a lot of hard work off the ball. Yeah,
yeah, he was. And you know, the two of them, they've found each other really well this season, and they're enjoying themselves. When they go out on the pitch, ready to do a shift, hard work for the team, but just go out with a smile. I like that, and defend each other out there as well.
Griff Knight.
I mean, Ole kind of hit it spot on, right? He basically said that we can't start like that anymore. You can tell it's kind of wearing on him that the boys need to come out of the box a little hotter. And it's true for me. That's why I think it's more of a mentality thing, is after they got the second goal, they got that swagger back. But it's like sometimes we come out and we don't feel it. We don't believe that we're big enough for the shirt.
They got to act like it. They got to remember who they are, the badge they're wearing on their shirt. And they got to come out of the blocks hot, because I think as performances get better, the standards rise. And I think you've heard it from Ole. Ole is evolving as a coach, but he's also like, his expectations, he's like, well, finishing the top four is nothing. You know, we expect to be challenging for titles. And I think all the players are starting to talk the right way. You know, this is just a stepping stone this season. We have to finish strong.
Yeah, but we look like a deer in the headlights when we're in the race for top four.
No,
we barely get there. So how are you going to win a title?
This is a compressed season. This is not like a normal season. We're making a sprint at it with basically the same starting 11.
I mean, second worst points total ever in the Premier League era for Manchester United, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about for this team.
Yeah, but you can't judge it alone on just points, right? Would you trade this for some of the Van Gaal, Mourinho, or Moyes
years? No, not the end, and not how we're playing now. But so when we're cruising, it's similar to last season when we were actually trying to get to the top four ceiling. We were winning. Everything was good. It was easy. Mojo's flowing. Same exact thing. Mojo's flowing. Everything's good. Then we're like, oh, we can get into it. We can crack three. And then Mojo's gone. So that's kind of Manchester United. The mojo gets going when the titles are flowing. And right now, it looks like it weighs on the players' minds when they're in the game. That's why when you get to Leicester City, that big fixture, it's all going to come down to that. And the mentality is the most important part for the players going in.
Mentality is always the most important part. I mean, that's what defines champions and Liverpool. Sorry, this defines champions.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
I was making fun of Liverpool, sir. Obviously, I was not comparing us to them. I'm just saying is like mentality is what defines elite teams and just okay teams. And teams that go back and win back-to-back titles and teams that win multiple pieces of silverware. And this is going to be a team that wants to do that and wants to win the best type of silverware there is, which is a Premier League title, which is the Champions League. And they have to be able to string together these results. Today is one of them. It wasn't vintage. We got what we needed. And we got to be able to beat Chelsea, beat West Ham, and beat Leicester. It's all in our hands. We just have to get the results.
Well, are you worried more about the FA Cup or are you more worried about top four?
I'm more worried about top four because the FA Cup is nice to have. But I think it's important to finish in the top four because I know it's not our trophy, but it's just important for our standing in the club. And I think it goes a long way for the momentum into next year. Silverware would be nice. Still is nice. I think you can do both, but I think we have to finish in the top four because it's in our hands. It means that we've basically screwed up if we don't finish in the top four at this point.
Yeah. And I would say that if you were to look at everything and you could look at Manchester United going against Leicester in that last game, I think that's what it's going to be. If I had to call it,
yeah,
Leicester looked good. Chelsea looked good. We didn't, you know, like that's one thing.
But they've looked shit, right? They looked shit against Norwich. They looked like, and they've had plenty of games where they've eked out results. So has Leicester. They haven't looked that great.
Yeah, but
we have been the best team since the restart.
We have, but it seems like all of a sudden it's like, poof.
I think they're starting to show I think like that they've looked tired the last two games. And even today, when they started getting up and got the second goal and started getting momentum, the legs are starting to come, right? Because we've been playing a lot of minutes and it's the same players that have been playing most of those minutes.
That's a blessing and a curse. Let's check in for top four. We're ranting. We're raving. The cracks are showing. Nerves are happening. I mean, like for me, just like being like the nerve, you can tell the nerves. It's like, this is the ups and the downs here with Manchester United. I just am so, I'm salty just how hard I had to sweat today. You know, I just like, I wish they could do it the easy way.
It didn't feel like 2-0. It felt like 3-2. Like they wanted to death with Matic.
I would have bet my life on Southampton. We would smoke them 4-0, 4-1, just boom, just Conor McGregor walk on the text thread. Hey, Chelsea, whatever, you're done. We're mowing everyone down. We're killing it. And then all of a sudden, something, this team just starts like slipping through your fingers and you're like watching Crystal Palace. What's going on? And as a fan, it's just like, I don't know if I can ride this ship anymore.
Take a breath. You know, it's nervy.
Sorry.
Wait till we have to go to freaking August and win Europa League and get in. Because you know we're going to bottle it. I hate to say it.
Okay, well, you know, I guess the thing here with American Red Devils, we're fans first. So I can't hide the emotions sometimes. Okay, top four. It's just really Chelsea, Leicester, and us. Chelsea, 63 points, plus 15 goal differential. Leicester, 62. Tied with us on 62, but they got plus 31. We got plus 28. So we're closing that gap. We need some big wins. Need to score a lot of goals here to catch up. Unfortunately, Leicester did win by 2. Rival watch Chelsea play us at the weekend. FA Cup semifinal are 1 point ahead of us. Chelsea are 1 point ahead of us. Liverpool midweek. So Liverpool lost to Arsenal. Unbelievably. So Liverpool starting to fade at the exact time. But if Liverpool were to draw Chelsea, that would be very big for us in the race for top four and could almost guarantee it. I don't know why we're sweating so much because the bookies have us locked on. Leicester plays Spurs on Sunday. They are tied on points with us, 3 ahead in goal differential, like we said, and Wolves are pretty much kaput. The bookies don't even have them listed for odds right now. Top four. As William Hill says, Chelsea minus 600, Manchester United minus 500, Leicester plus 125. Wow. So again, like we said last pod, why are we sweating so hard? Don't you trust your bookmaker? They absolutely have it odds on for Manchester United to qualify for top four, probably fourth spot behind Chelsea in third, even when they have to play Liverpool. What do you make of that?
I think, obviously, either it's United fans betting in mass, which does happen sometimes. They can move the odds. They just fancy that we're going to win out our games. We're going to beat West Ham and we're going to beat Leicester at home when it really matters, because that game's going to matter.
Chelsea have Wolves as well.
They certainly do. They do, and I think Liverpool is not going to be a huge challenge for them. They're going to play, you know, heavy rotation. Leicester, it's going to be up to us. I think, like, West Ham might be the tricky fixture that worries me, and that's going to make it so, like, we're going to have to win against Leicester. I think we're never going to make it easy for ourselves. We're not going to win the next 6 points, no doubt. I think it's, like, there's going to be a slip-up between here and there.
There's always a
slip-up. Always.
Someone's going to slip on the banana peel. It's whether it's Chelsea, us, or Leicester. I still, as I'm saying it today, I think it's coming down to that last game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a coin flip.
I fancy us.
Clearly, I fancy us. But realistically, it's a coin flip. Realistically, like that Leicester game, Jamie Vardy could have a party. You know, that's it.
We're a better team than them. We should.
They looked good against Sheffield United. They did look good. Damari Gray. They have some players, you know, and it's just the luck of the draw. Like that Bruno chance hits the post, yep. You know, then the VAR, that toe, it's just.
Yep.
Ah, game
inches.
Of inches.
Inches, game mate. Inches. Inches.
All right. We got our next match. We can leave Crystal Palace in the dust.
2-0.
Sorry for that tough breakdown, but it was a tough match. We're playing the Chelsea scum, Wembley. Where the famous Manchester United were going to Wembley in the FA Cup semifinal Sunday, July 19th, 10 a.m. Pacific. Games are coming thick and fast. It's awesome to have football back. We have won 81 times, drawn 51, and lost 54 to the Chelsea Blues. First time we played was Christmas Day, 1905, in a 0-0 draw in League Two. Fun fact, in 1905, Las Vegas was founded. Norway and Sweden. Sweden gave Norway full independence in 1905. Unbelievable. And Albert Einstein pretty much wrote his theory of special relativity. So bring it
like
back
that.
Here on the fun facts for the
like
Red Devils. But I like the Las Vegas is founded. Wish I could have invested back in 1905. Absolutely love Las Vegas. Haven't been in a little bit.
Probably not going for a minute or two.
I don't know if it's because I recently had a child or it's a global pandemic. Either way, I won't be there for a bit. Would like to celebrate if United, you know, win a title. Go to Las Vegas. That'd be fun.
I'm sure Vegas will be safe by the time United win a title.
I'm sure it will be. United have won 4 of the last 5 matches versus the Blues, including 3 wins this season. We've absolutely owned them. Chelsea are absolutely nothing without their Russian billionaire who launders money through their club. They're buying Werner. They bought the, I can't even pronounce
Zajic.
His name. Yeah, Zajic from Ajax. They're a completely plastic club. They only won really one major honors before they were bought by a Russian billionaire who all of his friends have just ended up disappearing with bullets in their head. So anyone who thinks Chelsea is a legitimate club is just beyond the pale. A lot of Americans root for Chelsea. I don't know why. Basically, there really were nothing until this dirty money Russian billionaire came in and bought them. They don't like to talk about that. So you've done a stint on a few Chelsea fan pods there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm getting invited back anytime soon. Chelsea is blue. They had me on. They don't really like to talk about that.
I think it's the London is blue.
London is blue.
Yeah, but they don't like to talk about it. So they literally just,
I mean, for obvious reasons. It was like they were like a minnow of a club before the Russian money. At least like Glazers took over this team, but this was always a story club. We had won, you know, we'd already won the treble. We'd already won the European Cup twice. They were like minnow. They were like Millwall, right? And then basically bought by this like goon.
Yeah, well, the story is that the guy that they bought, basically Soviet Union divests all these companies. They bought it at a cheap price. Then his buddy is found dead on his yacht in the middle of the ocean. Then Abramovich owns it all. Fast forward to the Skripal poisoning in London, and he can't come back into the country. So jig is up on the Russian money laundering, and Chelsea have no owner who can actually go watch their games. Their home kit, it's royal blue. Not bad. They do have Pulisic, but the problem is my hatred towards Chelsea. just outweighs any sort of love I have for Pulley. When he's on the U.S. men's national team, I root for him. But on Chelsea, he's a really good player. He's their best player right now. But my hatred towards Chelsea kind of overrules that whole American love.
I got a special place in my heart for hating Chelsea. There's a team I like to hate.
Hollow.
They'll never win three in a row. And they should remember that. Their fans are some of the saltiest bastards in the world, honestly.
They're all just a bunch of...
They're like, not good. Come on. Great. Anyway, a lot of American Chelsea fans...
Come on, drink
fans,
some ales with some Manchester
This is a proper
United
club.
Fans,
this is a proper club with proper chants. They didn't have a single chant. Chelsea.
They got nothing. Athlete. Chelsea fans are the worst. That's all I got to say. Johnny, physio room. We got some injuries. Luke Shaw, Brandon Williams. Mason Greenwood is... He's healthy, but he's still...
He's on the list.
He has that little ankle injury. We'll see if he can come out, play Chelsea, or they're going to rest him. Twanzebe, Phil Jones. So really only Shaw, B-Dubs, Twanzebe, and Jones. Given those are the injuries, who do you got in your lineup?
It's our favorite starting 11. It's not a surprise to anybody. De Gea, AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw back in action, ready to go. Meat pie, the impossible meat pie. Midfield of Matic, Pogba, Bruno. Front three of Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. Let's do it.
You really think he's going to just go full bore against Chelsea in the FA Cup? He's not going to get tricky? Because I'd rather lose the FA Cup and rest people for the run-in because we have easier fixtures. If you look at the math, we have easier fixtures than Chelsea and Leicester coming in. And what a better time.
I mean, we beat them without Bruno, without Pogba. Like, you go out and you put a McTominay Fred out there and see if you can do it with James. we did it that way too, the hard way. Counter, just sit back, play
Look,
it into the
my
channels.
My lineup is closer to yours, but I think I'm gonna. Just knowing Ole, I think he's gonna play it. But Romero is the one who's been starting FA Cup, so I'm gonna put Romero in net. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw makes it back. Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. I mean, at a certain point, you just give them the nod and be like, get it done, boys. Booking the bookies, Chelsea plus 188, the draw plus 240, United plus 138. We are the odds on favorite. I was surprised about that one as well. I thought Chelsea might be had a little edge against us to score, Bruno. And then this is the whole thing because the bookies, all the odds kind of shifted here on who's going to score because they don't know who's going to play. Bruno
right.
is the number one to score first because Bruno is pretty much undroppable by Ole. Greenwood, Martial, Ighalo, they're all plus 550 because, again, they don't know who's going to start. Rashford plus 600, so they think Rashford's going to get rest. This is all per William Hill, the smart money. Pogba plus 1,100, Fred plus 2,200. Fred's odds are improving because I think he might start. Remember, this is to score first. So a lot of you're artificially getting a lot of odds here if you can pick who's going to start for Manchester United. I like the idea of Greenwood. I like the because he took him off early. That's my only reason I could think him taking Greenwood off early was for Chelsea. Maybe playing him at 9.
He looked tired. To be fair, and he's young, so I hope he's going to start because he's a worldly. I'd love to see him tear up in Chelsea. That would make me so happy to be like, our youngster's better than all the youngsters you keep bragging about. Mason Mount. Stick your Mason Mount.
Mason Mount.
Go shove it, mate. I love beating Chelsea, so that's why I don't want to do any like soft starting 11. I want to just go out there and, you know what I like to do. I like to smash them.
Smash them all day. To win the FA Cup outright odds, Man City minus 163, Manchester United plus 400, Chelsea plus 450, Arsenal plus 1,100. So look, we're number two on the list. I don't think that was the same a couple weeks ago. So good on Manchester United, plus 400. Not that confident in that one, but I'd love to see a Manchester Derby FA Cup final. Absolutely love to see it.
I just want us to be there. I'll take whoever they. I'd love to smash Arsenal, City. Would be fun. That would be a great game as well. Get a chance to beat them 3-4 times. I can't remember how many times we beat them this season. But
score prediction, sir. Who do you got?
Score prediction. I got 2-1. I think it's going to be a nervy affair. But Rashford and Martial, the Bash Brothers, they pull it out.
All right. I'm going to say 3-2. Barn burner. Manchester United do the job. Dan James with the winner off the bench. There what you do go. You say?
I love it.
All right, sir. United in the news. Bringing you the latest Manchester United news here on the American Red Devils podcast. Editor-in-chief, AmericanRedDevils.com, sir. Fire sale. You wrote the blog. Players leaving. Who are they? clearly we're trying to make enough money, get this pocket change so we can add it up to get Jadon Sancho. No?
That's the rumor. Now that the dates have been confirmed about when the window is going to open, I believe it opens the Monday after the season closes, and then it's going to October 5th. But there'll also be an extra 2 weeks to do deals with the championship, everybody below the Premier League, so you can send players on loan and maybe even get some deals done. Who are the players? You've heard a lot of these names. We can go just run through them, or we can talk about the merits of each. But Alexis Sanchez, you think we should keep Alexis Sanchez? He's playing well, actually, in the restart.
No, you can just run through. I mean,
it's Sanchez, Smalling, Jones, Lingard, Rojo, and Dalot. Dalot is probably the only one that's like, I think most people would agree that could be on the fence for most fans.
The only player that I don't think we're selling, Marcus Rojo, his contract's up at the end of this year, so he's just pretty much gone. I think he was golfing and ignoring the social distancing rules down in Argentina. Shout out to Marcus Rojo. Wish we had him at United. I just like him. He's a character, and he's always good for a rash challenge. Look, quote Sanchez 15, Smalling 15, Jones 10. Then you're at 40. Lingard, 12, 14. So you're at like 52.
The low 8.
You're at 60. So you could probably look on a tough day, you get 55. On a good day, you get 75 for these players in a window. Given all the COVID stuff going on, I think it's closer to 50 to 60. If we make Champions League, that amount of money, we could do a structured deal to get Jadon Sancho. That would be enough. But again, it's a lot of deals that have to go down for players that aren't really like the Phil Joneses of the world. Apparently, West Ham want Lingard and Jones. How much would they pay for them? 20 would be probably the max. So at the end of the day, it's just how much can you get for these like fire sale players?
Yeah, and how many transfers do we really need to do full like new transfer fees? Because I think there's going to be a lot of moves on the loan side. Not loan side, but just like picking up players on the free agents.
William.
Or loan to a full-time signing, right? We're going to talk about that in a second. William would be a good signing. Right, I'd take it for a couple of years.
Well, that's the whole point, is we don't have a lot of cash in our coffers right now, given COVID and kind of how terrible of ownership we have. Hashtag Glazers out. So we're going to be doing wage deals, free agents, etc., because we can afford wages. We just can't afford those big upfront transfer fees, and probably only really one. You want to talk about the next bit of news here? Another midfielder we're linked to?
I mean, this one's actually been gaining some steam recently. We've been linked. This is a player that I'm sure United fans are well aware of, because we were linked 4 years ago, I think, 5 years ago. Thiago Alcantara. I probably butchered it. But
Thiago.
He has 1 year left on his deal, looking to make a move. 29-year-old. He'd be a great rotation midfielder, actually. Like, great. You can swap in with Matic. He can play that kind of holding role because he's a good passer of the ball. So I actually think there could be some legs in this. He's been attached to Liverpool, but he wants to play for the red side of Manchester.
I'm good. Thiago.
He's a good player.
He didn't want to come. I don't want him. He's only 29, though.
He's only 29.
Look, I would prefer a Declan Rice, English CDM. Obviously, you just flash the money symbol at me. We don't have the money. Willian, I like Willian a lot. I've been watching the Chelsea games. He looks pretty sharp.
He's good.
And he's basically running down his contract to Chelsea. So if we come up with some big wages for Willian, he could play right wing. United might be getting cheeky and doing something like that. Next bit of news, Manchester United plot move for free transfer. Hendrick, sir, you want to give us Jeff Hendrick.
So random that there must be some legs in it, because Jeff Hendrick, apparently, we're looking at it. The Burnley midfielder, utility midfielder, plays a little bit all over the pitch. Apparently, we're into it. Bargain. This is bargain bin stuff.
Where we're at.
This is where, I mean, that's why I think it's believable. It's because, like, signing a Burnley player that's free agent, that sounds about right.
Per Football Insider, I'm good on Burnley players. And next bit of news, transfer news coming in hot and faster. Manchester United signed Real Madrid teen Alvaro Fernandez on free transfer. Apparently, this is per ESPN, Manchester United came to a 4-year contract agreement with a youngster, 17-year-old left back, stacking up left back, sir. B-dubs, Luke Shaw. I mean, getting after it.
We are, and we've been doing, actually, the one thing I'll give the club credit for is that they've been making moves on the academy side, like in a big way, the last 12 to 18 months, especially like young 16, 17-year-olds. They just bought The right back at Barcelona, left back now from Real Madrid. We got that. We got Hannibal from Monaco last year in a big money deal, big money for 16-year-old. Some striker from Sunderland. So that is good. That, I mean, that's what like a lot of other clubs have done well, and I think United. Obviously, it's about our lineage, about our hierarchy, you know, bringing in young players and having them be a big part of the club. And we got to just keep that train rolling.
I hope we're not watching Sunderland Till I Die, Manchester United version. You know, Sunderland Till I Die season two was pretty bad. They got to every final. They got everywhere. They lost everything. They lost everything. Sunderland, it's like, that's a hell of a watch. It's a laugh.
That's a hell of a watch.
It's a laugh riot if you don't give a shit about the team. Yeah,
but if you're not a Sunderland fan.
If you're watching and you're a Sunderland fan, it's like absolutely terrible. Shout out to Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix. If you haven't watched that, it's absolutely.
What do you? We've been to Sunderland. What do you think of Sunderland, sir?
I'll tell you what.
Tell us what.
The dark ales flow in North England, sir. It's like, you know, the Tyne, Sunderland. Moyes was the manager. It's a lot of time with the knee injury, unfortunately. It's that was a great game, great match, and great. All the Sunderland fans were great. It's a hell of a four-hour train ride from London.
It's a haul.
That was like a hell of a haul. Fan questions. Thank you for all the banter. You guys tweet us on Twitter. We absolutely love it. Again, podcast for fans, by fans. This is the way we get the fan perspective out there, especially from this side of the pond. Jumping in at Lou_Dav. 7-7 quote, what is it with the sluggish start with these inferior teams? Do you see the lineup changing versus Chelsea scum? Bruno was not himself. What do you make of that?
You know, Bruno, a bunch of different things in this. Sluggish start, we've talked about it a lot. It's a little worrying.
Mentality!
It's important, right? And we cannot come out sluggish at the Wembley against Chelsea scum because they're going to want to do the same thing. I think people know United are vulnerable early in games and they try to come at us early. And I think a lot of teams have shown that. So we need to do the opposite because the games we've looked most convincing, we came out hot and just never left it and just, you know, kept it on, didn't turn it off, maybe.
I like how you say the Wembley.
I always say
like, God, it's like my grandma, the Facebook. I saw it on the Facebook. Yeah, you know, the Wembley.
You're welcome.
Manchester, yeah, you go in the Wembley.
Happy to help.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do.
Yeah, the lineup, I don't really know how Ole's going to play it. I could see a lot of rotation, him just focusing on top four. If I was him, that's probably what I'm doing because you have to look at who Chelsea is playing against in the final run-in and who we are. And you can't lose. We can't lose. FA Cup ain't going to bring in 80 million via top four.
True.
The board, everyone behind the scenes, they know where the bread is buttered, and it is getting Champions League football. Next one, at Dave Paws on Twitter, 19 games unbeaten. We are very sloppy, but we still march on. If we buy two or three good players in the summer, watch out, you Scouse bastards. Absolutely love that take from Dave Paws. At Devin, shout out Devin. Handle at Banjin Boy for Life. Great to get back to winning ways after the draw versus Southampton. United did very well to absorb Palace's pressing. Bruno is looking like he'll need a bit of rest now. Looking forward to Sunday. Love the positivity from Devin. It's what we need on this podcast, huh?
Always need Devin on the podcast. Bruno, looking out of sorts at times. He does that, right? He always tries to pull off that risky pass because when it does come off, it's worth it. So I think it's just part of Bruno. It's like,
but he's the one who passed it into Martial, who ended up giving it to basically chunking it to Rashford, who got the goal. You know,
he's also excellent at times.
He only
right?
needs a second. Exactly. Something about Bruno, but you're right. He isn't like he's not the midfield general that he was to start. He's kind of been fading a little bit.
He's tired. He's tired. And he's running tired, around. Yeah. He was still running his ass off in that game.
He played 97 minutes today.
And kept running. Just kept running.
Next one, at Ty Kircher on Twitter, quote, nervy, ugly, slow, but 3 points are 3 points right now. De Gea with a great match. Rashford and Martial pushing each other to great heights. Chelsea scum next. Focus on our own business. Come on, United. And Spurs and Scousers. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag American Red Devil. Shout out to Ty. I mean, that's right. It's just what we talked about, these tight fixtures. You get a win. It was ugly. I just moaned about it probably a little too much on this pod, but it's in the past. Let's go on to the next one.
It's therapy, too. I know you come out here.
I was
you
mad.
You need to get it out. I could tell. I was like, this guy needs a pod.
Well, I was sweating. So
I agree. It was not a fun game to watch for the first 70 minutes. Until you get that second goal, it was nervy stuff.
At @ant_triola. Quote, only to see the second half because of work, but the fellas really had some good chances and looked a little shaky on defense until Matic came in. 3 points even with Leicester. I'll take it. Absolutely. Matic. I think that's the big takeaway. Look, Rashford had a game, but Nemanja Matic, where would we be without him? A very understated role, but we looked a different team with him. Because Pogba and Bruno, I mean, they're a little bit, you know, the liability.
No, he's the...
He backs them up, right? You know,
he makes it all work. It's like it makes it all come together. He's kind of like the lock just brings those two players, unleashes their potential. And you need a special type of player that can just unleash those two, cover for them and their vulnerabilities. And he does it. And he's top class player on his game. He looks so good.
At Nixky Girl, I didn't relax for 1 minute during that game. Not 1 minute. I can echo that sentiment as well. And at Sunny SoCal Rob 25, why does this team make it so hard on themselves? That's a great question. That's a great question because you would think you'd beat Southampton, you get to third place, you make it easy.
We always do it the hard way. It's Manchester. We always do it the hard way.
You did say that on the last pod. You're like we always do it the hard way, and I think the hardest way would be to miss out on top four on the final day of the season and then win Europa League in like the most nail-biting fashion to get European football.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we win everything.
That would be the hardest way.
All the games are dramatic.
That would be the hardest way to do it.
Well, it's very possible it happens that way. In a week, I mean, a little bit over a week, we'll know, right? Next Sunday is the end of the season. Can you believe that?
I can't handle that. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, seriously. It's like
At Rolling Deep 1995, a good win, but the players pretty much stopped trying after the 80th minute. Normally I'd mind, but goal difference was crucial at this moment, and we're still three behind. Hopefully we can rout Moyes, West Ham, and Mourinho can do us a favor. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. It's all. I think why I'm so frustrated is you have to watch Chelsea and Leicester win, and then you watch United.
I know.
So you almost judge our performance through the spectrum of how Chelsea and Leicester have performed, and then you have the extra stress of watching those games as well, and you pretty much don't have a break any day. We'll never see anything like this again. It's absolutely insane.
Well, usually they're playing when you're playing, and now everybody has their own time slot. Like all the big teams, you can watch every game. So we know what our rivals are doing for the top four. There's been a lot of football. It's been great.
At James_R_007, quote, what were your thoughts on Timbo at left back? Thought he played a decent tonight, although B-Dubs definitely should be second choice behind Shaw. Should we sell Delo? Personally, I don't think we should, but it looks like Ole doesn't have in his plans anymore. Love the pod, guys. Thanks, James. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the banter. I thought Timbo did a job. And that's what we, you know, under Sir Alex, he could find guys he could rely on to do a job to get other players rest. So you can get away with one with Timbo, and then you can get Shaw back in for Chelsea, or you can get B-Dubs in for Chelsea, and then maybe Shaw back when we play West Ham. So I really actually think that's the type of squad player you need at United, and he did a shift. That's exactly what we want to see.
He did a solid shift, and we've been hearing about this player for a long time. We've been hearing about Timothy Fatoumenso for 6 years at this club, and maybe he's finally going to be given his chance because we need players like that who can go and do a shift, play well. He was solid. He was solid the whole game, came in, hasn't played in 3 years, and you would have thought nothing of it. So I hope we see more of him because I think Delo's had his shots. I wish it would work out, right? He's got the Portuguese on Portuguese connection with Bruno, but it might not be in the cards because we might sell him, get a decent fee for him to fund other transfers.
At the Alex Davis 33, can't wait to see talking square-shaped head scout Stevie Nickel bash Ole yet again on ESPN LFC. I love how everyone's LFC. NBC LFC, ESPN LFC. That's awesome, Alex. As if the scout Steve was such a great manager, couldn't even cut it in the MLS, mate.
Very good. Nice banter.
Fresh banter there. At you, Bosin. Attacking four, have goals in them. I mean, that is for sure. Always gives us a chance to win. Defense and David De Gea redeeming themselves today. Mata showed how important he is. An important win on to the next one. Absolutely love that. At T. Zolski, it wasn't pretty, but at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points. Martial and Rashford coming up huge. We have to find a way to keep scratching out wins. It's not going to get any easier. Two more to go. Hope the lads get up for the Chelsea game. Glory, glory, Man United. What a way to end the podcast on some positivity. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you for everyone who gives us these hot takes. Look, I mean, some fresh banter from Alex, some good questions there as well. Everyone in on it, everyone engaged, United till we die. Sir Pod never sleeps. We keep going. We keep marching on. I don't know if I want to keep marching on. I'm just these games are the blood pressure. I need to up the blood pressure medication.
Can the streak go to 20 games? Chelsea, it's a huge game. It's huge because we've had their number all season, and now we got to stick the knife in because if you remember, last time we lost in the FA Cup final was against Chelsea. That Phil Jones error under Mourinho. I remember that game too well, and I want to get revenge so bad because I...
No, that was bad.
That was years ago now, but I still, I want to get revenge. It's a huge game. It's in London. It's at the Wembley, and it's Chelsea. So we got to do it. And then I think it'll get in their head. I think we beat them, especially if we beat them with some rotation players. I don't want to call them squad players because everyone's got a role.
I'm not bothered by it. Like if we lost FA Cup, I wouldn't sweat at all. How I sweat during the first half in Crystal Palace, if we were to lose FA Cup, I'd be like, if we get on the pod, I would be like, look, that's tough. We beat Chelsea 3 times. It's all about top 4. Let's go. I'd rather win Europa League. You know, I love the City Derby, but this time it's almost a distraction to really what matters for this club. You think financially, the money as it comes from Champions League football, getting Sancho, all that stuff. We need to hear that Champions League music, sir.
We miss it on the pod. I miss it on the pod.
I know. We don't play it.
I know. I know Europa League music, bro.
I just can't handle another season of Europa League because just the jabs and jives I get from the text thread and all the other fans, the Chelsea fans especially. It's just we need Champions League football. It's where United need to be, and we need to jump on from there. But it's, to me, FA Cup, it'd be a nice one, but I'm not going to be as locked in as I am on top 4. Look, it's been amazing, pod. Thank you for listening. We don't have any ads here on this podcast. It's just us, 4 fans by fans. That's why we do it that way. Alex and I don't do it for the money. We just do it because we love this team. And we always talk so much about Manchester United that we thought, why not record it and upload it and see if anyone listens? And you guys did. And that's why we continue to do it. And that's why the pod never sleeps. We get it done. Weddings, babies, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. No sleep. Back to back, busy summer. I hope United keeps us busy all summer because I don't want this run to stop. I want this run to go into next year, baby. I just want to be one of those runs because there's something special brewing in this club. We got to hold it all together for this last couple of weeks because now it's about now it is about mentality because it's going to get – today was hard. We had to gut it out, and we're going to have to gut out performances. And it starts – maybe you switch up the squad a bit and see if the squad boys, McTominay, Fred, Igalo, James can go out there and beat up Chelsea because we've done it before with them.
Yeah, and you can always sub on a Rashford. You can always sub on a Martial. So I actually think we're going to see rotation. And I think, at least I saw an interview where Ole was like, it's all on top 4. But look, if you like the podcast, you want to keep us going, please write a review on iTunes. It's how people find us. 5 stars, write some cheeky banner. We absolutely love it. It goes a long way. Only takes a minute. And if you really want to support us, you can buy some merchandise at AmericanRedDevils.com. You can click on store. Check out our blog, sir. We got some crazy downloads. Everyone's in the thick of it listening. Give us our top cities last 7 days.
Number 1, how you doing? Altadena, California. Number 2, Toronto, Canada. Number 3, San Francisco, California. Number 4, Brooklyn, New York. Sir, keep us going.
Number 5, Oslo, the Shire, Norway. Number 6, Chirac. Number 7, Tacoma, Washington. Sir, finish us out.
Number 8, El Trafico, Los Angeles, California. Number 9, Union, Maryland. And number 10.
That's Missouri.
Is that an O from there? My eyes are a little squinty.
They're going. 10,
Dublin, Ireland, no glasses on.
That's a different country.
That's easy one to
that's
spot.
That's where your dark ale
the
came from.
The flag's different.
That's where the Guinness came from.
I know where Ireland is. Thank you very much.
The sweet taste of a Guinness, sir. It's all it's about hard to those beat. Dark ales. Can't wait till we can go back and watch United in person. It's been too long. It's been absolutely too long. But look, 19 games unbeaten. It's all in the next match. Those Chelsea scum, they're going down. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.